Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Namaste Radio. The intent of our programming is to increase awareness, inspire loving action, and ignite transformation and healing in our listeners, and through them, our world. Namaste Radio is brought to you by Namaste Publishing. Please join its interactive spiritual community. Communicate directly with authors, guest bloggers, and others like yourself who are spiritually seeking a better way of living. Connect, make friends, and be one with our new Namaste Global community at namastepublishing.com. And now, please welcome your host for this hour, Marie Bernard, on Namaste Radio, radio that will change your life.
Good afternoon and welcome to Namaste Radio. I'm Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for joining us today. And we're going to be speaking again with Wade Lightheart. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago and with such an interesting discussion, and now we have so many more questions. Wade is a three-time Canadian natural bodybuilding champion, and he's one of the world's premier training and nutrition advisors. He majored in sports science at the University of New Brunswick, and he is the author of numerous books, including his latest book, Vital Power, A Dynamic Philosophy for Producing Optimum Health and Vitality Without Diets, Drugs, or Doctors. Welcome to the show, Wade.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. And so can you give us a quick overview? Last time we were talking about your awesome principle of living and being healthy and vital. So what inspired you to come up with that and to write Vital Power?
Well, that's a great question. Basically, what had happened is over the years that I had been involved in the health and wellness area. I mean, so a lot of people look at me and say, well, you're a bodybuilder. Well, actually, that was just something I did. I enjoyed as a sports performance, but primarily I spent most of my time training and providing nutritional programs for a wide range of people in the general public. So that's where my professional career really was. And what happened is I just started to look at how do I simplify all the confusion out there. So in other words, there's all these different diets, there's all these different programs, and, you know, all work to varying degrees or to, you know, not work to varying degrees. And how does someone who is out there, just they have a very limited amount of time, effort, and energy available to put to their health program, how do they kind of like screen through what is important and what is not important? And so I have to say it was the collection of data over maybe 15 or 20 years of my own kind of clinical research, just, you know, dealing with real people in the real world. And then I reduced it down to an easy-to-remember acronym based on the principles in order of importance. So that's where the awesome acronym came out, and I guess I kind of got lucky. It just kind of streamed in there, and it worked out. And the seven principles are this. The first thing we address in our health is air. I always say it's the first thing that we do when we get on the planet, and it's the last thing we do before we leave. So, you know, recognizing the importance of breath and proper breathing is something that is widely overlooked, and largely in part because it doesn't cost that much. Second on that list would be water, going through the acronym AWESOME. And water is a very misunderstood subject. We learned that water is H2O, when in fact it's a whole lot more than that, and we'll get into that a little bit more today. And then the next one is exercise, which, of course, we know that you can go only a few minutes without air. You can go maybe a few days without water. And if you have any situation where you haven't moved a lot, or if you were, you know, had an arm in a cast, or you were bedridden for a period of time, the actual loss in muscle mass and the effect of that on the health of the body is significant. So these three areas need to be addressed by the individual first and foremost before anything else. And if people would get those three locked in on a regular basis with, you know, practicing deep breathing, really the finest water they can put into their body, and a daily exercise regimen that's comfortable for them, they'd really have most of the picture taken care of. Beyond that, we look at how I look at nutrition is from a sunlight perspective. So we live in a solar system. That would be the S in the AWESOME formula. And I look at how much light is actually going about it, how close it is to light, relative to natural-based products and that sort of thing. And then we get into nutritional supplementation because we are living in a far more toxic world than we were, say, 100 years ago, and our availability of essential components for biological function has been lessened somewhat, even though we have so much great technology out there. So nutritional products that make sense and are right for people, and that goes in that sequence of optimizers, as I call them, is enzymes, probiotics, minerals, vitamins, essential fatty acids, essential amino acids, and herbs in that order. And then to the next one, we go to M, which would be mental beliefs and attitudes, your MBA in yourself. And these ones, that's a whole field that I think maybe today more than ever, there's more information and availability of technology to, you know, help adjust one's own belief patterns or mindset that we may not have had access to prior to this. However, we're also bombarded by a whole lot of kind of negativity or less than programs. So one has to be very conscious about the information one brings into one's awareness and how that affects us and our attitudes and how that determines our course of our life. And finally, education, testing, and coaching. In other words, continuing to educate ourselves, as well as testing ourselves in the standpoint to, are we applying the knowledge that we learned? And if we're not, or there's areas that we need to improve, who are we getting to help us? And that's where the coaching part comes in the education, testing, coaching, which of course translates as et cetera. So that's the whole sequence. And by doing that, if someone just plugs in the awesome formula into their life, whatever information comes at them or whatever they're doing in their life, they go, okay, well, am I spending time on my breathing today? Well, no. Well, let's get back to the breath. Okay, I've got my breathing down. I do my good meditation practice, but I'm putting, heavily chemicalized plastic bottled or chlorinated water into my body. Well, maybe I better adjust my water if I want to improve it. Well, I'm doing that, down the sequence.
So it's interesting that air, water, and exercise comes even before the food that we eat.
Yeah, absolutely, because we know for a fact with the human body, you can live an extended period of time without any food. And most people are kind of, I'll have them maybe do a one-day fast, and they're like, I'm going to starve, Wade. Well, that's just not the case. In fact, when people are fasting, usually after the third day or so, the appetite just kind of drops away on its own, and you can go a very extended period of time. So I'm not saying that everybody should go do that. What I'm saying is that you can go a long time without food. However, if we were to sit here and say, well, let's hold our breath and see how long we can go without air, it wouldn't be very long.
And so, Wade, you mentioned that we're taught in school that water is H2O. And that's not technically the case. So can you explain that?
Yeah, this is something I've been studying water for a long time. And I would encourage any of the listeners to the radio station today, if they would check out a movie called, it's a documentary called Water, the Great Mystery. And in that DVD, basically, it's the top water researchers from all around the world. And they've got this massive amounts of data. And massive amounts of studies, and the summation of that program is the structure of your water is more important than the chemical compounds. So I'll repeat that again. The structure of your water is more important than the chemical compounds. Well, what does that mean? I mean, I learned that water was H2O. I learned this in chemistry. I learned this in nutrition. I learned this in exercise physiology. Well, as you get down to the microscopic level or the atomic level of what's going on, we have discovered that water is actually a cluster of these H2O molecules. And that cluster determines the properties and characteristics of the water. So, for example, there are a lot of external influences that can affect water that although it looks like water, it might not be water that is good for us. I'll give you a case in point. You can have purified water. In other words, water that has absolutely no minerals in it, no anything, no chemicals, nothing, which would be something similar to reverse osmosis water, be a great example. So it is very pure from the start. So for people looking at, I want pure, clean water that has nothing in it. Well, if you take reverse osmosis water, put that in a fish tank, guess what happens to the fish? Any idea?
Are they going to die?
They're going to die, right, because really? the key elements to life are not present inside that water. Yet we have people gunning down this all the time and drinking reverse osmosis water and that sort of thing. And I'm not here to knock reverse osmosis water in the standpoint of understanding that is a part. Yes, it's cleaner water, but is it water that we need? Now, the structure, that's H2O. However, in order for water to be absorbed in the body, water that carry electrical charge, water that carries memory, these are things that we're discovering about water, is that those components may be more important than the water itself. So water is the only thing that exists on our planet naturally as a solid, as a liquid, and as a gas. And you'll only find a single H2O molecule as a gas. When it's in a liquid, it's probably going to be mixed with some other compounds, and the cluster is also going to be there. So you might have clusters of five or six molecules, which is oftentimes demonstrated in Masaru Emoto's work with his Messages in Water, that beautiful work that he did with all the wonderful pictures. Or you might have water that could be up to 220 of these molecule clusters. And if you were to consume something like that, or tap water that might be 15 or 20 of these clusters, that determines its ability to actually get inside the cells of our body. So there's a big difference between consuming water that goes into the digestive canal and water that actually permeates the cell membrane and gets into the organs as we need it. And this is something that is becoming a fascinating area of research. It's very, very exciting because we have found that all water isn't the same. Water can affect you differently. Water has memory. Water has structure. Water can have a charge. It can have a pH. It can have all these things that we never knew about water, and it becomes extraordinarily exciting. And we're really finding out, as much as we know about water, we really don't know that much.
Wade, I want to ask you a question about the absorbability and getting into your cells. So there are people who are drinking tap water or reverse osmosis or whatever, and in large quantities you're told to drink 8 to 10 glasses of water a day. So, I mean, some of that must be getting absorbed or they'd be dead.
Absolutely. And here's the rub. It's the cost of absorption inside the body. So, for example, have you ever drank a liter of water on a hot day?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, you were kind of thirsty and you guzzled the whole thing down. What happened?
You're full of water.
Well, exactly. Most people experience that bloating or sloshing around feeling in their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason that is we've now discovered that water that has traveled at right angles, such as that came in through your piping, actually changes the structure. In other words, these clusters, as the water comes in under pressure, smashes up against these right angles, and they stick together, making the molecule bigger. Or if I've, you know, had plastics that have leached into the water, that can also change the structure. Or even heavy metal music can actually change the structure. There's a lot of different things that could affect this. But in other words, what happens is water, to get inside our cells, has it's measured in what's called dynes or osmotic pressure. And the cells of your body run at about 80 dynes. And if the water is a big molecule, it's too fat in order to get into the cell. It's too big of a molecule. In other words, your cells can't absorb it. So your body will have to dump, bicarbonate buffers and these type of things, which are a bunch of minerals, in order to break this up and allow your body to absorb it. And of course, this can take away from, for example, we draw bicarbonate reserves from our bone mass and from our connective tissues. And so things like osteoporosis, osteopenia, and these type of things that start to happen with people as they age are largely in part because the water they were consuming, whether it was from bottled water or tap water, or whether it came in a tea, or whether it came in a soda, or whether in a coffee, did not hydrate them at a level that was optimal, and it had a cost to the mineral reserves inside the body that eventually caught up and led to some of the degeneration that we experience as aging, and that we accept as aging. So you have to look at cultures who have withstood aging extremely well. And you look to cultures like the Hunzas or some of the other cultures that live high up in these mountainous valleys and stuff, and what is the commonalities that they're drinking? And a lot of it has to do with the kind of water that they're consuming. And when you study this water, you'll find that this water, the molecule is actually smaller. It has particular properties of pH and charge, electrical charge on it, that has positive effects on the body that regular water that we might get from a tap or from a bottled source is not able to, we have not been able to duplicate that in those situations.
So Wade, it sounds almost like the conversation that we had the last time you were on the show about when you eat cooked foods, your body has to find the digestive enzymes somewhere else because it's been killed in the food.
Exactly. So basically, what is the metabolic cost of what you're consuming? So the biggest thing for everyone to understand is just because you put something into your mouth does not necessarily mean that got absorbed by the cells and organs that actually required those foods or required that water or required the minerals or nutrients or whatever was in that food. Your body's ability to extract the nutrients out of whatever you're consuming and utilize them is far more important than what's going into the body. And, of course, the other side of the equation is how much of the waste product or the unused portion is being eliminated properly. And the biggest issue, of course, everyone's talking about today, you know, toxins in the world, you know, pollution, air pollution, water pollution, all these sort of things. The reality is we're mostly bags of water. So I always use an example. The solution to pollution is dilution. So rather than worry so much about all the negative chemicals and things that are inside the world, let's support solutions because you can just attack the causes all day long. And the solution is to get the best possible water you can into your body so that it hydrates your cells properly and you extract the important characteristics that you require in order to make your body function at its optimal levels.
So Wade, speaking of toxins, and this might sound a little bit on the shallow end of the concern spectrum, but what about things like cellulite? When people start drinking this restructured water, does that change?
It can. So let's examine what cellulite is. Cellulite is metabolically inactive fat tissue. In other words, we do not have a good arterial supply to it. And basically, the cell is not able to move or take chemicals and things out of the product. So, for example, out of the cell, excuse me. So, if you're looking at, first things first, is we live in such a highly cosmetic-oriented world. I mean, everywhere you go, there's pictures like these kind of idealized ideals of what we should look like. And if we're not doing that, instead of just looking at it as information, we tend to put it into a whole negative mental belief pattern and guilt things and emotional things, and it just really gets outside of the function. Fat gain or cellulite or any of these things are your body's natural and perfect response to environmental conditions, both inside and outside the body. So if we can first accept that whatever's happening is a perfect response to our internal and external conditions, now we're in an empowered place that we can look at changing what we do. So in the area of cellulite, what I've found is if you take biopsies of people who have had liposuction, so a lot of people, that's how they'll choose to deal with these type of situations. Well, if you actually look what's inside the fat cells, it's almost all chemicals not naturally found in nature. In other words, man-made chemicals like herbicides, pesticides, fungicides, and you know, preservatives and these type of things that should not be inside our natural consumption of food. So rather than damage our internal organs, our body puts them into a fat cell. Because we never changed our lifestyle over a period of time or we never addressed whatever was going on, eventually our body stopped bringing arterial supply there and just kept it there because our toxic load was kind of just too much to deal with. So we need to kind of go backwards, and the solution to pollution is dilution. We need to find a way to get the best possible solvent, which is water, inside the cells where we can rehydrate and start pushing out those toxins and getting back to a form and function that we find more preferable.
And so for people who, because some people get more cellulite than others, and for some people it seems to be genetic, and you do hear that cellulite stores a lot of toxins. So does that mean that people who have more cellulite than others have exposed themselves to more levels of toxicity?
You can't really answer that for sure, I mean, off the hand. What you can say is their particular body's method of processing toxins is to store it inside of fat cells in excess, and therefore they have to compromise their lifestyle or adjust their lifestyle in response to their own genetics and their own environment. So, you know, you look at first the environmental factors. In other words, if I'm hanging out in a fertilizer plant every day and I'm having these problems, maybe I might want to change careers first things first and adjust my diet. You see what I mean? You kind of have to broad-base the picture first of the person, an individual snapshot. Let's look at the things that are affecting their lifestyle and move with those, and then we can adjust to kind of genetic modifications in their individual stuff. But primarily, most of the causes tend to be environmental issues and also mental beliefs and influences. In other words, how that individual processes. And there's some great books in reference to that as well.
So, Wade, let's talk about, now we've talked about how tap water, the structure has changed, the molecules get bigger because of the right angles, and they're traveling through all of these pipes, and another thing is they're not getting the sunlight like you would from fresh water coming from the mountains. But most of us live in cities. Most of us don't get our water from a glacier. So how can we have this water that we need?
Well, you know, I think some of the people that have developed the best technology around water are the Japanese. If you look at the Japanese, they're number one in health. They're number one in longevity. And they have the highest rates of consumption of ionized water in the world. Now, I'm not saying that's a direct correlation, but what we can say is, there's something to investigate. As an athlete, I always believed in, rather than studying pathologies like an allopathic doctor does, an allopathic or traditional medicine, as we call it, they will look at what are the causes of disease. And what I'll look at is, okay, well, you can study that forever. Let's look at who's producing the best results. Where is success? I'm like an athlete. I want to study excellence. And so when it comes to health, when it comes to weight management, when it comes to lifestyle, when it comes to longevity, the Japanese are far ahead of everyone else on the planet. And what they've done, if they studied the longest living, healthiest populations in the world, and they all drink, all those populations primarily drink what's called glacier runoff water, which is, and that water has certain characteristics. It has a high pH, it has a negative charge, it has a small cluster inside it. And those components, what they did is they developed technology in order that they could take tap water and turn it into those particular components as close to possible as you were in those situations, and therefore give you a water that is superior in hydrating your body and removing, you know, things like free radicals and that sort of stuff. And that's the technology that I use and choose. And it's really quite remarkable in its effect because it is practical in the world. It'd be awesome if we could all have a nice glacier runoff or a beautiful aquifer spring out in our backyard that we could access as, you know, the best water we could. But the reality is, as an urban dweller myself, that's just not realistic.
And so, Wade, let's talk a little bit about this technology, and because I'm curious. I was at the wellness show the other day, last weekend, and there were a variety of companies that were selling various products that changed the water, changed the pH, supposedly changed the structure. So I'm curious to hear about the water that you drink as well as maybe some comparisons to some of the other companies out there.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, let's address what is somebody looking for in a water. Research has shown that drinking water with a slightly alkaline pH is better than drinking water that has a low pH. In other words, optimal range of pH consumption tends to be from a pH of 8 to 9.5. Just so you know, that's called alkaline water. Now, that's not the, and we'll get into the other thing. The other thing is that we're looking for is what is the cluster size of the water? In other words, is the, you know, when we have tap water or bottled water, generally, those clusters are smushed together. So what is the technology you're doing to break up the electrical bonds inside the water in order to create a water that would be more hydrating for the cell? The other thing is what is the oxidization reduction potential? So that's a very big word It's often measured as ORP. And basically what that means is the water's capacity to attract and attach to free radicals that do all the damage inside a disease and are contributing to all the damage or the aging process. If you can have water that can address that, now you've got something that has some real punch to it that can have a very positive effect on a person's health, well-being, or sports performance, or just overall daily energy levels. So those are the three things that we're looking through. pH, microclustering, or pH, which is often called alkalinity. Does it have the charge or the ORP value? So going back to that, and is it devoid of the other chemicals? In other words, is it devoid of the things like chlorine and chloramines and fluoride that is quite commonly added into our water supplies? Yeah, and lead and we could go into, like, there's all sorts of chemicals that are being sorting out in our clean water, so to speak, as we get out of our taps. And keep in mind, we're very fortunate to have water to our houses. I think there's 1 billion people on the planet that don't have access to water as we do here in North America.
Mm-hmm.
So now, going back to your question, so what are we looking for? Well, you want a high pH water. It should have a negative charge, and you measure this by an oxidization reduction potential, which that means this is actually measured in millivolts. And is it microclustered? In other words, is it more absorbent? And you can do this with simple things like tea bag tests, or you can take a water. For example, I'm able to make a water that will emulsify oil, I can change the structure so much with my water machine, I can actually emulsify oil. So that is clear evidence that the structure of the actual water molecule. Now, if I put the two glasses beside each other, you couldn't tell. However, when I put that high pH water into the 11.5 and the change in the structure, boom, now you have water that emulsifies oil, and that's like, wow, what's going on here? When I first saw that, I was like, okay, I need to brush up on what's water.
And you probably wouldn't want to drink that water, though, would you?
No, that's the type of water that you wouldn't drink, but it has other purposes. For example, I can change with the touch of a button in the machine I use, I have 5 different types of water that I'm able to make. And people go, what do you mean 5 different types of water? Well, I can make a water that has an 11.5 pH, and what's great about that, it emulsifies oil. That has the ability, when I wash my fruits and vegetables, I can get oil-based pesticides and fungicides and herbicides off my fruits and vegetables, which is of a profound impact for my health and a profound impact in the longevity of my fresh produce inside the fridge. I can leave spinach in my fridge after washing it in that water for two or three weeks, and it won't go bad, to give you an example. So that's the kind of benefits I get from that. The other thing is I use that type of water to wash my floors, clean my counters, take stains out of clothes because it is so salt. It's so emulsifying. I can take a stain out of the carpet. It's really amazing stuff without using any man-made chemicals. So for the environmental impact of that is very strong. At the same time, I'm also to make a water that's at the 2.5 range of highly acidic water. Now, again, I wouldn't drink that water. However, the research in Japanese hospitals, this type of water has been used for over 40 years in hospitals in Japan, where you're able to treat open wounds and things like diabetic ulcers and cuts and scrapes and burns, which is phenomenal without resorting to antibiotics. Of course, we have a very big issue with superbugs now in hospitals and medical centers. And here we have a pH water that is 2.5, which will kill things like Salmonella, E. coli, MRSA, these type of bugs that are plaguing our medical centers today, and which there is a viable and active solution that has been time-tested for over 40 years. However, as North Americans, our influence has been primarily in the allopathic model that hasn't really sunk their teeth into this model that the Japanese are doing. However, it's starting to infiltrate with world-renowned doctors like Horsfilter and Hiromi Shinya and these type of individuals who have a strong allopathic model that are looking at those for those benefits. Also, we can make water that's, say, 5.5 pH. That's kind of something that you would put topographically on your skin because your skin's about a 5.5 pH. If you've ever bought toner, people that would use toner, it's actually 5.5 with a little bit of scent inside it, and so you can recondition and tone the skin, which is very nice, of course, from a cosmetic purpose. And then you can make drinking waters from ranging in pH from, you know, 8.5 to 9.5. And each one of those waters kind of hydrates and eliminates free radicals to varying degrees depending on the source water coming in and the quality of the machine that is actually producing it. So a lot of people are kind of jumping in on this bandwagon of, you know, restructured, ionized, alkalized, electrically charged, antioxidant water. There's all these different terms for it. And like anything else, what happens is you generally get some great technology, which has been developed, which you go back to the Japanese. They've produced some great stuff, and then you have a whole lot of other people in the marketplace that are kind of taking little pieces of that pie, and it can become very confusing for the consumer, and I really feel for the consumer today because we have access to so much information, but the problem is anybody out there can throw up a website, anybody out there can produce a marketing material that sounds extremely convincing and makes sense on paper. However, when you put it to the test in the real world, it doesn't work. And I'll give you an example of that. When you're looking at pH, people say, well, you need to drink alkaline water. Well, that's not necessarily the case because how did I get the alkalinity? I mean, I could put potassium cyanide in my water and I would get a high pH. Unfortunately, that would kill me. Okay? Or I could add some dissolved mineral salts into the water and get a high pH. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the water became more absorbable. In other words, or I could run it through an electrolysis process, and I could get a high pH that way by splitting the water molecule and creating two different streams, an alkaline and acid stream, which is what I currently do. However, what is the quality of the materials that actually created the electrolysis process? I can create electrolysis with stainless steel, or I can create electrolysis with platinum-grade metal, which is going to have a positive benefit on the body, where the stainless steel would also be a very negative effect. So each one of these components are part of the puzzle. And when I was looking at this here for the last, I think, since it's been about 3.5 years now that I've been working on this stuff, I've got to know a great deal in this area, and it's an ever-increasing area of research and fascination for me.
So it's interesting, Wade. I'm remembering back to grade 7 science class where we all sat and we had the little litmus paper and we were taught that water is a 7 pH. Water is always supposed to be a 7 neutral pH. So why would you – it's just interesting now that we're hearing, okay, we should be drinking water that's more alkaline because we've all been taught that water is supposed to be a neutral pH.
And, you know, this is a great thing. Water comes on this planet in a wide variety of pHs from very highly acidic that you'll find in some hot springs in the world, you know, down in the low twos and low threes, all the way up to pHs of 11, 11 and a half, and 12, and that sort of thing, depending on the mineral supply and the earth environment. So water would come out of the tap is federally regulated to make 7.0 water just because it doesn't rust the pipes. In other words, it's pH neutral, it doesn't corrode the pipes and doesn't add too much minerals to the pipes, so it's very convenient from a municipal point of view of providing water at that level. And oftentimes, you'll find water at a neutral level. However, if you look and study, again, if we're looking at optimizing health, going back to the people on the planet that are drinking, that are, seem to have the best lifestyles, longevity, and health, you know, cultures like the Hunzas, for example, well, they're drinking a pH of water that is, you know, anywhere is around 9 to 9.5 pH with a very, very high mineral content inside it. And so if I'm going to err to the caution of the people who are producing the best result, because as a society of drinking neutral pH water, we're certainly not producing the health that I think we could be. And this is an examination that as professionals in the industry, whether we're on the allopathic or holistic side, I think we have to take another look at water with the kind of information that is now becoming available with nuclear resonance imaging, with, you know, the kind of physics that is able to be done on water, that we now know that water isn't just water, it isn't just neutral pH, and there are actual different ways of manipulating us to make it better for our health, better for our body, and better for our environment.
So, Wade, let's talk about the negative charge, the oxidization reduction potential.
This,
water.
To me, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm just wondering, like, I'm bringing it back to the wellness show the other day. There were people with one of those little things you stick in the water and then it tells you what kind of charge it has. And mm-hmm. So some of the water was negative, like 200 and something. So what's the ideal negative charge that you would want in your water?
Well, let's understand what does the negative charge do first and what does that mean? So the test you're referring to is referring to what's called oxidization reduction potential. And what you saw was probably an ORP meter. Basically, it measures the millivolts or the availability of OH negative ions. Now, why is this important? Well, the number one thing to reduce the effects of aging, to reduce the effects of or the potential for disease, is we need antioxidants. So oxidants in the water have what's called a positive charge. In other words, they have an unbound electron in their molecule, and they're going off and looking for an electron. And if they can't get it from their environment, they take it from our cells. And if you look under a microscope, you can actually see the oxidative damage in the cells that we contribute to the aging process. You know, whether it's breathing, whether it's eating food, whether it's exercise, all these sort of things contribute to this oxidative process. And now there are some benefits to it, but largely in part, the totality of it as a society is too much. So the concept is what the Japanese discovered, if you can change the water by breaking the regular H2O molecules and creating an OH hydrogen or hydroxyl ion, very much like waves crashing on a beach or what you feel in the air after an electrical storm or if you're at the bottom of a waterfall and you get that kind of euphoric feeling, well, you're picking up all these hydroxyl ions. And what happens when you breathe in that air or you drink that water, you are taking these little electrons and they're attaching to the free radicals. Now, instead of doing damage to the cellular environment inside our bodies or our joints or our liver or organs or brain or whatever, now the water actually goes in with that charge, boom, and it's an electrical match. The two match up and you flush that free radical out of the system. And I think this primarily is the biggest benefit of drinking this type of water. And like going back to the real world, I always ask people, well, how do you feel when you're standing by an ocean with crashing waves? Or how do you feel by being under that waterfall or close to like Niagara Falls or something? Or how do you feel the energy after an electrical storm? Well, that is those hydroxyl ions that are going inside your body, grabbing free radicals, and taking them out of the system, and that on a widespread process is phenomenal for the body.
And so as far as the ideal, what kind of charge are you looking for?
Oh, yes. Generally, anything that's in the negative zone, there is some argument that you want to be around minus 400 would be the kind of ideal. I think anything on the negative, whether it's minus 50 on up, that would be the better.
You're breaking up a bit, Wade. Oh, I think we've lost him. Okay, so while we wait for Wade to get back on the line, let's see. I want to put out the phone number. If you have a question for Wade, the number to call is 1-347-202-0129. Today we're speaking with Wade Lightheart. He's a 3-time Canadian natural bodybuilding champion. He's also the author of the book Vital Power, a dynamic philosophy for producing optimum health and vitality without diets, drugs, or doctors. And it looks like Wade is back. So if you'd like to get on the air and ask him a question, the number is 347-202-0129. Welcome back, Wade.
Sorry about that. I guess we got talking about charge and the universe started to electrocute us.
Woo.
On that one.
So where were we? We were talking about the negative charge, ideally around 400, but as long as it's in the negatives, you're getting some benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, this is one of the big, the number one selling nutritional supplement is antioxidants. And just to give people an example, a very high quality vitamin C on that scale might be at a negative 50 charge. And that's the kind of stuff that you're going to go to a really good vitamin store and pay, you know, $40, $50, $60 for a small bottle. Cod liver oil, for those of you that were taking that back in the day, that would be anywhere from maybe minus 100, even as high as minus 150, depending on the quality of that oil. Or green tea would even be around that minus 75, minus 100 if you got really pristine, really good green tea. So imagine when you can, we all know the benefits from an antioxidant perspective of taking things like high dosages of vitamin C, which Dr. Linus Pauling was so famous for developing, the two-time Nobel Prize winner. Well, now we can make an electrical-based antioxidant that is, you know, multiple times more effective than, say, vitamin C or green tea or cod liver oil, that's very easy to consume, very convenient, and that you can take in massive quantities. In other words, I can literally make gallons of antioxidants in a few minutes in the comfort of my own home, drink that, and get the positive benefits of that. And what's different than, say, taking a nutritional supplement or foods that are good for you is that now we have an ability to deliver that electrically. In other words, it doesn't have to go through the tubes, get converted and digested and turned into an ash and a bicarbonate mineral and all that whole process. Now we're getting direct delivery of that that hydroxyl ion right into the cell where we need it, grabbing the free radical and carrying it on. And it's one of the reasons I had such a positive effect in drinking this water and why literally, you know, tens of thousands of people, you know, guys like Steve Tyler from Aerosmith is drinking this type of water, and Magic Johnson is now drinking this type of water, and Elvis Stoiko, and it's starting to get into kind of communities where people are like, yeah, I can actually feel the difference. And so the biggest test always is when you drink this type of water, and there's a lot of people out there, try the water and see what your experience is, and that's going to tell you whether the person sharing that information with you was accurate or whether they were not exactly accurate in producing the proper charge for your water.
Okay, thank you. And Wade, so I'm bringing it back again to the wellness show because this was just my most recent direct experience seeing all these techniques and these marketing ways of marketing with like the ORP meter and the pH drops and all of that. And so I was walking around with some water from the company that you use, and I had it in a cup, and I walked up to this other company, and they were selling these things that looked like a Brita filter, and so they were showing that on the ORP meter that it was negative, like 200 or something, and the pH was around 8.5 or so, and so I asked them to test the water that I had in my cup, and the pH was, and I know you weren't there, so it's difficult for you to say, but the pH was 7, and the negative charge was not as high as the Brita filter-looking one.
Exactly, and here's the thing. When you're making an electrical-based product, in other words, if you're using electrolysis, and the first guy to do this was Michael Faraday way back in the 1800s, but when you're creating an electrolysis process, first off, you're splitting the molecules into a level, and that charge inside the water is going to diminish with time. Also, the enemies to the water in terms of storage are time, air, light, and movement. Those three components are going to naturally reduce the water back to its back to a pH of 7.0. That is the law of entropy in physics. You know, things tend to go back into an order of homeostasis or chaotic kind of state. It will not retain those properties. So in order to produce this, you would want to produce this and drink it relatively quickly from the time that you can you actually made the water. The other component is that you don't want to be artificially creating a charge that isn't actually an active hydrogen. So there's a difference between oxidization reduction potential and active hydrogen. In other words, going back to that ORP meter, if you're going back to testing something, I can add a bunch of minerals to the water and get a very high ORP. In other words, I have a high hydrogen potential, but that doesn't mean when I drink it that I'm actually getting those negative ions. So I see a lot of technology now what they're doing is they're running water through a filter that has a number of different types of stones. There's different ways to do it, whether it's sodium or calcium or potassium or different ways to different kind of bicarbonate buffers to boost the pH, kind of what I would say artificially, shall we say, in order to kind of get a water that looks similar to these optimized waters and then calling it the same thing. And the problem is what happens is the layman and oftentimes the person marketing the product, both are coming from, let's say, a less than informed position. And what happens is this leads to confusion, and oftentimes people get analysis paralysis. And when you get analysis paralysis, we tend to just freeze up and say, oh, screw it, and none of it makes sense. So when I go back to this, I go, let's go back to what's the research history, who has the reputation, who has actually been doing this the longest, and what is the technology that we do? And so I go right back to the source, which is Japan, which have been using this in hospitals for years and years. And you can check out this research from the NIH, and so the National Institute of Health. When you look at that, when you start looking at these research of these different types of water and their usages, now you have something that has some weight. When I go to down to the local market and I see, you know, Mr. Smith or Mrs. Smith running with a little filter who have absolutely no background in this area, no technical expertise, but they feel that, hey, they can make a quick buck selling you a filter that seems and sounds good. Unfortunately, this is where, and I side on the area of research, that where I can see where confusion can come in and people might not get what they thought they were getting in for their money.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up, Wade. But also, I mean, I have a Santavia filter in my home, mm-hmm. and it might not be the multi-thousand-dollar machine, but it is, I mean, it's got to be better than just turning on my tap.
You know, that's the thing, and I always ascribe to this pattern with everybody that I deal with. Good, better, best technology. And always upgrading it as our time, energy, and efforts and resources can afford. So first off, if we're dealing with water, the first thing that everybody needs to get inside their consciousness is if you are running tap water into your house or you're running shower water into your shower thing that has naturally been treated by your municipal thing, you're asking for trouble just with the contaminants that are put in, like chlorine. Okay, chlorine inside the body creates trichloramines. It's a cancer-causing agent. This is well-researched. So the first thing is you want to filter whatever water you're drinking. That's step one. So whether you're using a Brita, whether you're using a Sanofi, whether you're using a little carbon filter, whether you're getting one of those little Aqua Fresh Smart things that you screw onto your shower tap, that is a positive step in the right direction. Let's reduce the contaminants first. And always follow and test your water. Test your water for its pH. Test your water for chlorine inside to make sure, because sometimes there's a varying degree towards filters. A lot of filters out there that say they take chlorine or lead out actually don't. So you want to have a water test. So, you know, kudos to you for making that step. The technology referred to, it also comes, its origins was again from Japan, and there was another company, I believe, that developed that technology. And what happens is the water goes through a filter, if I'm correct, and cascades down through a set of minerals, pools in the bottom, and then comes out a magnetic spout and goes into your water. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And so for the most part, that is a far better water source than most people are getting. And again, that's erring to the side of you're probably going to get a high pH water. It's going to have a magnetic influence on that, which is a whole other area you can look at water. And its effect, which I've done a little bit of research on that one as well, personally, because I used to have technology like that myself. And, again, that's a better water. Now, if you're going to look to an optimized water, you can get into, well, how do I want to, after I've cleaned the water, how do I rebuild it to the components? So there's one group of individuals that are out there. I mean, I've seen elaborate technology. I've seen technology that's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've seen technology that's in the $2. I've seen everything from wands waving on the water, in the water, to rays, to lights, to frequency machines, to electricity. And I mean, water is becoming a whole circus of itself. So first you want to clean it. Then you want to make sure that it has alkalizing minerals inside that. Okay, those are important components inside the water. Then you want to get the charge, and then you want to deal with the structure of the water. And that's why it can get kind of complicated, because how far down that rabbit hole do you want to go? But here's what I do know. The technology I use, I mean, it's not inexpensive on your initial outlay. It cost me, my electrolysis machine, cost me around $4,000. You can buy them for $1,500, you can buy them for $6,000. Now, what I do know is that it's made at the highest quality it can. I know it filters the water. I know it separates the water. I know I can make all the waters for my health, all the water for my environmental components, all the waters I can use to treat my body, cuts, burns, and stuff, without using chemicals, without using cleaners, which hydrates myself superiorly. And I can actually demonstrate this on a live blood cell analysis. So I recommend people go get a live blood cell analysis. Go and get your blood tested and see if you're doing oxidative damage inside the cells, right? Try drinking whatever water that you're consuming, whatever filter, whatever device, whatever machine you're going to do, and go back and test those live blood cell analysis tests again and see what happens. See if you're improving the oxidative situation or if you're not. And what's evidence for me and what my research is that the investment in a high-quality electrolysis generator has been superior than just about everything else I've ever done in the health industry. And it's simple and it's easy to do. So the value, it's about cost versus value.
And so Wade, thank you. We just have 8 minutes left in the show. And so I'm wondering if, before we wrap up, you can tell us what are some of the physical benefits that you yourself have experienced and your clients have experienced from just solely from drinking this water?
Sure. I'd be happy to share that. First off, when I got exposed to the water, I wanted to do my own tests on my own body. And I encourage everybody do their own research. And I'm certainly not trying to give medical advice or saying if you drink this, this is going to happen. What I will share is my experience in the clients that I did with, that I dealt with. Basically, when I started consuming the water, I noticed, first off, my energy and strength levels in the gym, which was something very measurable, changed. In other words, I could train longer, I had less fatigue during my workouts, and I had a reduction of muscle soreness to a point that was quite shocking to me, because I've been training for over 20 years, and I'm pretty familiar what I can do and what I can't do in the gym, or how fast or how long it takes me to do my workouts. So that was an initial response. Then when I did a test, I found that my oxygen carrying capacity of the body actually went up in just a few weeks. I also noticed that my body fat percentage dropped significantly outside an anecdotal range. In other words, outside a range that I had experienced. Keep in mind, I had dieted down to low body fat levels multiple different ways using multiple different techniques. And here was a way, by just adding water, I was able to change my body composition significantly in a few weeks. That caught my attention as well. The other thing is I noticed a change in my joints. I didn't have the aches and pains normally associated with people who have been doing my sport for a long time, so a reduction of that. So that was exciting. Then I started to sort through all the confusion that I saw there. The other thing is I had some cuts and scrapes. I used the 2.5 water on top of it, and I noticed an improved healing of those wounds that healed much faster. And I started playing around with the other waters, and I was able to, you know, clean my counters with this water instead of using a chemical, and I was able to wash my clothes without instead of using a chemical. So I like that from an environmental perspective. Those were things that meant something to me, because we have a real problem with plastic bottles and the waste being generated around the world. That's a whole topic in itself that we have to address as a society and as a country and as a species. But then, so those are the initial things. So I said, okay, well, I was comfortable after a few months of what my experience was. Basically, I got back to my previous levels of conditioning, was able to capture another two more Canadian titles in relatively a short period of time that I wasn't able to do. I was not able to do that in a short period of time. So I knew I was having a physical experience that I couldn't explain based on my background. And as I learned more about it and started sharing the water with the clients that come to me, this is what I began to notice. I began to notice people who had conditions of acid reflux having that eliminated. I had noticed people that having reduction of high blood pressure and cholesterol issues and eczema and psoriasis and all these sort of issues that we relate as disease. And I start to really get excited about this because when I give diet and training programs and nutritional programs, it takes a very motivated person in order to just come to see me and then to act on it and continue on it and make those lifestyle adjustments. For the most of the population, they don't see enough benefit soon enough to stick with the result, because if you spent 40 or 50 years living in a certain lifestyle, it's going to take, you know, weeks to months to even years in order to get yourself where you need to go. I mean, people, but we're in an instant gratification society. What I found is, you know, in just a few days, people felt better on the water. People had different changes in their bowel movements. You know, people that were only going to the bathroom a couple times a week were going to the bathroom a couple times a day. And, you know, and people like my parents or my mother or something, that is a very important factor in her life and the quality of her life. Well, the same thing with my clients. They were noticing the same thing. And also people who were in situations that were undergoing medical treatment, such as radiation and chemotherapy, when they started consuming the water, had noticed a significant reduction of the adverse reactions that they have from those type of treatments. So in other words, even though they were inside an allopathic model and that sort of thing, we were able to alleviate some of the pain and suffering that they were going through in their treatments. And that was a huge, huge benefit to me. And over the long term, we started to see their white, you know, the blood cells inside their body change, and the available of reduction of oxidants inside the blood, and these type of things that are measurable by any physician or any medical doctor. And unfortunately, we're just starting to scratch into the allopathic model, but now we're starting to get some greater and greater interest in the allopathic community in regards to this water. And I think that's very exciting. And I think you're going to see this trend continue to grow over the next few years.
And so, Wade, I'm curious, because I know that based on talking to some other people who sell this type of machine that restructures the water, that if you're interested in trying it out, they'll share some of their water with you for a while. But you had mentioned when I tried at the wellness show, when the water is exposed to whatever it's being packaged in and the light and movement and all of that. So how long, if I go to one of these dealers and get some water to try out, how long is that water going to be effective? How long can I keep it?
Okay, so again, the enemies to our water is air, light, and movement, as well as the container it's in. So ideally, and this is an ideal situation, you would store your water inside a glass container. The darker the glass, the better. If you don't have availability, I mean, go with the blue plastic. That's going to be fine. For the short term while you try the water. You'll still get some of the benefits, but not all of it. Smaller containers are better than larger containers. The reason being is when you open up a large container, what happens is the negative charge starts to dissipate as those electrons fly off into the air. Okay, so that's the whole air that gets exposed to it that's going to change that. The other thing is if you're setting it out in the sun, the light has the ability to impact the water as well. For example, if it's in a plastic bottle and you're sitting in the light, there'll be a higher incidence of plastic leaching into the water, which is something that you don't want. So always carry in a cool, dry place. Generally, I have a lot of people that come, and I give the water freely to anybody who wants it, because I would certainly not keep that away from anyone just because of financial reasons. But they come in and get the water, and I say 24 to 48 hours and come back and refill your bottle. So I recommend that people drink a gallon of water a day for at least 2 or 3 weeks and see what the effects are. And then when they drink that gallon of water, so they put one water a day, they drink that bottle, the next day they get out the other one. Some people go to the extent of putting it into small glass bottles and to maintain those properties. And if you do that and keep it in a dark place, you can maybe get a week out of the water. So if you put it in like a little Perrier bottle, you know, to dump the Perrier out, clean the bottle, put the water inside of something like that, and you just cracked it open and drank it, it would be very close to being fresh. And you would retain those principles maybe, you know, up to a week or 2 weeks. Most people won't go through the bother of, you know, going to that extent in water storage.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. Okay. Well, we just have a couple minutes left. So, Wade, before I ask if there's anything you want to add, where can people contact you?
Yes. You can just come to my website at MaximumVitalPower.com. That's, you know, Maximum Vital, VitalPower, MaximumVitalPower.com. Or they can just send me an email at WadeLightheart@gmail.com. I'd be happy to answer their questions or provide information or commentaries about that. And our phone number is 1-866-848-2565. And just so people know, I have actually created, in conjunction with my business partner, Katrine Valinsky, we've actually created a simple report that if anybody wants to call in or email me, we'll send it out to them. It's called Water Breakthrough, Simple Solutions for Hydration, Health, and High Performance. And inside that, we don't refer to any particular company or manufacturer or anything like that. It's just a simple little report that people can look at, do their research, start doing some information, and getting a grip around it. It's a little 15-page report, and I think they'll find it great. As well, we also have athletic books that I weld called Hydration, Performance, and Recovery, which is another little book. Again, it's not referring to any particular brand or company, but shows how this water can affect athletic performance because it's now worked its way into the elite athletes level and hopefully down to the grassroots level to people here, you know, in our local minor leagues and that sort of thing.
Great. So MaximumVitalPower.com is your website. WadeLightheart@gmail.com is your email. And the phone number again?
1-866-848-2565.
Perfect. And so, Wade, before we wrap up, is there anything that you'd like to add?
I would like to add one thing, is for everyone to really seriously consider taking the time to examine their water, get their water tested, look into some of these elements that may be affecting their health. It could be much more than they think, and choose the best water technology that their time, energy, and budget can afford. And I can guarantee you'll notice improvements in the quality of your health, the quality of your life, and that's what we're all about on the show.
Perfect. And where do, how do people get their water tested?
There's a variety of methods. You can send it off to government testing facilities, or if people will email here, I can send them out a little test kit. I have a little litmus test that you drop in your water, and it tells if it's got chlorine or contaminants like fluoride. It tells the pH, and it also tells if it has other minerals that might be damaging to the system, like hard water, these type of things that might be caustic to the body. So we provide those for people as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Wade Lightheart, for being on the show today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be on the show, and I hope to see you guys or talk to you guys in the future.
Definitely. Have a great day, Wade.
You too.
Thanks. Bye. So again, MaximumVitalPower.com is Wade's website if you would like to contact him. And if you've enjoyed this show, I would ask you to please favorite the show, and you can come and join us absolutely free at the Namaste Global Community at namastepublishing.com, where you will find blogs from our authors and guest authors. You can communicate. You can update your spiritual status. It is an entire global spiritual community at namastepublishing.com, and it's totally free to join up to the site. So check us out, namastepublishing.com. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It's been such a pleasure hanging out with you. We'll be back in 2 weeks, so have a wonderful day. Namaste.
Thank you for joining with us for this hour of Namaste Radio. For further spiritual insights and sharing, please join us in Namaste Global Community at namastepublishing.com. If you enjoyed the show, please add Namaste Radio as a friend, favorite the show, and tell someone about it. Sharing this show is a precious gift that's completely free. Thank you. May you enjoy each moment of your day. Namaste.